this session happened because, I don't know, somehow Chris and I were talking one day and he said, oh, I could do a session on internet radio. And I thought it would be neat if Chris could talk about a little bit of, you know, if there's any history behind internet radio, and then talk about what he does on the Victor Stream and Alexa, because those are probably the two easiest ways to get at internet radio, is my guess. I might be wrong, but that's what I'm thinking. So, Chris Devon, take it away, please.
Okay, well, thanks, Sharon. And yeah, I think what you did was you asked for ideas for future Third Thursdays, and I just thought of this, and because it's simple, I think it's something everybody enjoys. Most blind people love radio, and so I'm going to sort of do it as a personal history and the things that I like, and then we can talk about what other people like and, you know, any questions that people may have. And we've got Steve and others here who are more technically savvy, Tim, who are more technically savvy than I, so they can certainly answer questions about how to get different things, or I know some things, but Steve is a big part of the story, so let me just start telling the story, and then we'll see where he and Marcia come in. But anyway, I've always been a big radio fan. You know, my youngest brother was born when I was 3 years old. My mother said, "That's it. I got three kids in diapers. I'm going to keep one of them busy." So she turned on the radio, and that was the last she ever had to deal with me, pretty much, because after that, I was just listening to the radio, and that's why I love music from the early 50s, too, before rock and roll and stuff, because I was listening to that all the time. And, you know, now I hear, we'll talk about the countdown that I get to hear now that could be from the early 50s some weeks, and sometimes I remember, I know that I heard that song contemporaneously. Sometimes I know I heard it as an oldie kind of thing, you know, from the last 2 or 3 years. So anyway, that got me started, and I was very fortunate. I got my own radio when I was about 4 or 5 years old. A lot of kids didn't get them till they were later, and you know, then I got a Hallicrafter radio, and that was great because I was able to start dialing around other parts of the country and so forth. So I became interested in all the things that radio pervade. What were the three main things that radio pervade for you? Well, weather too. Music, weather, news, and sports. And, you know, so I became a big sports fan. I became a big news junkie. And even back in the late 50s, early 60s, and I became, a music person. So, you know, and I followed music. I like music from going back into the late 40s all the way through the late 70s into the early 80s. So, you know, so, and I always said to myself, boy, wouldn't it be great if there was a magic radio? If I could push a button and hear, like, just on a 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning, what Minneapolis radio sounds like, or what, you know, Detroit radio sounds like, or what Los Angeles radio sounds like, and it'd be 7, but, you know, I'd be hearing it. Wouldn't it be great if you could do something like that? Then another thought that I remember sitting and listening to Barry Scheuer at the Pittsburgh Convention in 2003, and he was talking about, and he wasn't specifically talking about the stream, but he was, in his mind, had a prototype of a radio where you could, you know, put the stations in yourself and didn't have to have all kinds of computer knowledge, and you could go in. Because internet radio had kind of started, you know, in the late 90s, early 2000s. So it was around, but people didn't know a whole lot about it. So wouldn't it be great if you could get any football game you wanted, and any baseball game you wanted, if you could listen to any kind of music, if you should listen to old-time radio, if you can listen to any kind of city you wanted to, all around the world. And I was like, wow, that would be great. I mean, I thought of it before. That was the old magic radio. But, you know, it's like that really sounds like it might come. Well, then the next thing that happened, and I knew that this was already underway, was in the early 2000s, of course, we had Sirius and XM started up in 2001. As a matter of fact, one of them, I forget which one, was delayed by a week because of 9/11. They just didn't think it would be right to start on that week because of the, you know, what had happened. So they both started in 2001. They both started with their commercial music, and they were building their programming and this and that. And of course, XM was always much better musically than Sirius. But what happened was, the first exposure I ever had to satellite radio, Steve was there. We were at our friend Brenda's house at a party for her daughter. And she had just gotten XM, and we were listening to all this stuff. Marcia and I had a contest going about, we went to the different traffic stations that were on there and tried to figure out who could get the city first, you know, and we went back and forth. That was fun. We listened to oldies on there. We listened to all this stuff. And then I started to hear that sports were coming to Sirius and XM, and the NFL came to Sirius, and I said, well, I have more trouble getting NFL games than I do baseball games. I knew my wife at the time, Sue, would kill me if I got them both, which I eventually did. and we'll get to that story in a minute. And Steve was part of that. But anyhow, so Steve's been a big help to me with a lot of this internet radio stuff. So anyway, I got serious. And then the music was okay. It wasn't great. And I was hearing from, you know, about XM and about different things that were on it. And I got to experience some of it. I went down to Linda's. I'm going to Pittsburgh again next week. Go down to my ex-wife Linda's and, you know, seeing the kids and the grandchildren and all that. And I got listening to Sirius XM down there, and they had this thing called It, where they would start back in the 20s and play music all the way up year by year, month by month, all the way up through the 90s, through their different channels, and then on into the 2000s. So I got to hear that and really experience that, and I said, this is really great stuff. Wow, this isn't anything commercial radio is doing. And at the time, I'd been kind of satisfied with commercial radio because that's all there was. But hey, you know, this is cool stuff. So then I got my Sirius radio, and I knew that the music wasn't as good, but then broke up with Sue, and I said, I can get, you know, Kathy doesn't care. She loves radio, too, and I was going out with her. So let's go get an XM radio, too. So I got an XM radio, and Steve, we had to walk around, figure out. One of the drawbacks to Sirius and XM radio is reception, especially in the Northeast. The satellites are sort of hung in the middle of the country, and they're really help. They're better. The fewer trees you have, the fewer buildings you have, the less stuff around. So we had to walk around. We had to carry the boom. Steve was carrying the boom box through the house, figuring out where it was going to finally work. Finally got it to work up in the bedroom, what was the spare room, a room that I never used. Well, I spent a whole lot of time up there after that. So my Sirius radio was downstairs. This was before Kathy moved in. My XM radio was upstairs, and we finally, you know, got it to work. And, you know, and that was great, and found out about all their features and all the different shows that I listened to until it got ruined, because what happened was Sirius and XM merged. And because Howard Stern was on Sirius, even though they had fewer subscribers, they had more money because people in New York and the financial markets knew who Howard Stern was. So it would have been the other way around if Howard had ended up on XM, but he didn't. So Sirius took over XM and ruined XM in a lot of ways. But the sports expanded. You know, now I had baseball from XM. I had football from Sirius. You know, hockey and basketball were there and all that other stuff, college sports. So I was really rolling in the sports. I was really rolling with the music. It took a diminution, but, hey, you know, it was better than it had been, so forth. So then we get up to 2010, and what was my next little foray, which was into the phone world, Fillmore phone system, where we have our number. You know, BSCB has its number. And I got talking after a while to this friend of mine, Judy from Canton, Ohio, and she was really into these stations like The Ride and The Legend. She kept talking about The Ride and The Legend. And I said, well, how do you get those? Oh, on the computer. I get them on the computer. I said, well, I don't have a computer, and I'm not real technological, so I'm not. I mean, that's. I know Steve and others are listening to things like that, and Steve had brought over devices and listened to, you know, we were waiting for, I don't know, a hurricane one time to come, and something was going on in Hartford. We just listened to WTIC for a while, and one day he brought it over. I said, this is really cool to just sit here and listen to WTIC in Hartford, you know, clear as a bell. This is great stuff. And that was on the internet. Well, she got talking to me about it, and then the first thing that happened was Marsha comes into the story. Marsha had what was called a Braille Plus. And she wasn't going to use it anymore, and she gave it to me. Now, this was sort of pre-programmed, and Steve can jump in anytime he wants to clarify anything I'm screwing up here. But it was pre-programmed, and so it kind of had a bunch of stations already in it. And so I was listening to them, and one of them was The Ride. And that's Ride. It stands for Rick and Deb Lewis. And you guys know who they are. And Deb is now our first vice president. And Rick, of course, does a lot for ACB2 with streaming and other things that he's helped out with over the years. And so I got listening to them, and their slogan is quality radio for quality listeners, and it is, because if you don't like unfamiliar music, it's oldies, but if you appreciate songs you haven't heard in a while, that's the thing. It doesn't mean they're all that way, but a good third of them are songs you don't hear every day on commercial radio or much of anywhere. So it's great. So I got that on there, but the Braille Plus was not really reliable about staying on the internet. You know, I thought that it was just the internet itself, because I wasn't doing anything on the internet. I didn't realize that it was really the Braille Plus. Well, then Steve advised me to get a book port, and that was better about staying on the internet. But the two things that the Braille Plus and the book port had in common was, or the one thing it had in common, was you couldn't just program it yourself without a computer. You had to get, so for example, I had to bring over the Braille port, the book port one time, And Steve put The Legend on, and we'll talk about The Legend more in a moment. But that's another station that's run by Bill Sparks. He's also an ACB guy. And, you know, so now there's a lot more going that we'll talk about The Legend and The Ride. But so I had the Ride on the book port and The Legend on the book port, and that was great. But what was missing was being able to put them in yourself. Well, then along came the Victor Stream 2. Now, the first stream, I think, came out in 2008, and it was just a book reader, Victor Reader Stream, whatever they called it. And you just could read books on it. That was it. But the next iteration, and maybe came out about a year before that, and we finally got it in 2014, and it was you could put stations in. Kathy had it, and she hadn't done much with it. I think we both got one around the same time. I don't quite remember. I know it was 2014, around Labor Day. And so... and I'd already talked to Judy a lot. She had one, and she was telling me how to put stations in. And, you know, so, okay, WB, you know, The Ride, THERIDE, like you would text something. So you just put it in, and there it is, and you have your favorites on your stream. That's the cool thing about the stream. That's the advantage that it has over Miss A sometimes. We'll talk about that in a minute. So I put in a bunch of stations, and I went crazy because I could put in sports stations. I could put in a bunch of New York stations all in a row, or Chicago stations. You know, do my magic radio. Like, what would it be like to listen to Chicago on a Sunday afternoon at 3 in the afternoon, dial back and forth with the Chicago stations? I could put them all in like that. And so I did, and I put in all kinds of oldie stations. We'll talk about some of the ones that I like nowadays and some of the ones that are gone. And, you know, so that was great. That gave me the independence. I didn't have to go to Steve every time I wanted a new radio station and get him to put it in, you know, somewhere, and, you know, all that. And sometimes it was hard to do, and, you know, sometimes it would look like it was going to come up on his computer, and it really wasn't. Well, the stream uses a thing called uTunes. You never say uTunes to Miss A. Those of you who use it, you say TuneIn, or you say iHeart, or you say Odyssey. But uTunes is a thing that's put together by this guy in England, Stephen Woolley. And so sometimes he has trouble, you know, takes a while to update things because he's doing another job. He's not just doing that. But the stream is pretty cool because it's got stuff sometimes that Miss A doesn't have. And I'll talk about that in a little while. So now here I went. Now I went full bore. So then I really got into The Legend and really got into The Ride. So let me talk about, and I've just been talking. I haven't even looked at my notes. I want to see what I'd covered here. And, of course, then in 2016, I got, you know, this was just when Alexa really got started. I think it was the year to 6 months before that. And Linda came up, Linda from Pittsburgh, and she had her iPhone. And we bought an Alexa, and Steve, I think, helped us get that. Anyway, we got it hooked up, and we got that going. So that was great, and that was great for music, but also for stations, too. Some of them were not on the stream. But moving up to the present day, I can talk about some of the stations that I like now, and then we can talk about, you know, go back over the whole thing. I mentioned The Ride, and they've got a lot of cool things. They have I love countdowns, and they've got a countdown every Saturday night. He calls it the Hometown Countdown. He replays it on Wednesdays, Saturday night, 9 o'clock, and replays it on Wednesdays, and it's really cool. And, for example, they did a countdown about 3 or 4 weeks ago from WSPR in Springfield from 1962. And that was great because it was pretty much the same music we had around here. So that really took me back. Sometimes if it's a countdown from across the country, you don't relate as much to it. But there's that. There's the quality radio for quality listeners with all the music that he plays. There's, you know, they do a show on Saturday mornings. Rick and Deb do a show that's also on ACB radio. And, you know, where people just, and I usually call in and request stuff, and people like John McCann, like Mitch Pomerantz, you hear all kinds of people on there just talking and, you know, requesting music and having a good time and sort of like a little family, you know. So there's that. So The Ride and is very good. The Legend, I'm actually on some shows there. Got to meet Bill Sparks. I've gotten to know Rick and Deb, too, at conventions, but got to meet Bill Sparks, and I'd been talking to him. He knew who I was from different request shows and this and that. But he said, hey, I'd really like to do a sports show. So we got together a sports show, some of us from Fillmore, and also Rick Swan is now on the panel from here from BSCB. So we do that show, and it's just moved. It's 4 to 6 on Tuesday evenings. We do it live, but it's also a podcast, so you could listen to it anytime you want, and it's also on the Fillmore system on Bill Sparks' box. I'm also on a show called All Things Radio. I'm a panelist on that show. I just got off that show. That's Thursday night, 6:30 to 8 Eastern time. And then and then there's another show they do on Wednesdays, The Coffee Club. I'm not on that usually because I'm working, but I will be on the next couple of Wednesdays because I'm going to take Wednesday off, you know, to get ready to go to Pittsburgh, and then the next week I'll be down there. So I'll probably be on those. And that's great to be part of internet radio, to be on, you know, not just as a requester, but as a panelist or as a co-host, and that's really cool. And then he's got oldies on his show, more familiar oldies, and then at 10 o'clock at night, they switch over to classic country. So if you like classic country, there's that at night. And there's a lot of different other features and different great hosts on that show, that station. There's a station that's very interesting called Time Capsule Audio Network. It's from Canada. And what they do, they say they give you 100 years in a week, and they do. So what they do is they start on Mondays, and they do all the songs that they have or are available to them from the zeros to the 30s, you know, 1900 through 1939. And they play them all, and, you know, all the old 78s and stuff. Then on Tuesdays, it's the 40s. Wednesdays, it's the 50s. Thursdays, the 60s. Friday, the 70s. Saturday, the 80s. And Sunday, the 90s. And it's from Canada, so starting about the 70s, when they had to do Canadian content, they're not by regulation don't have to do this, but they play a lot of Canadian content because that's what they, you know, were hearing up there. So that's where their mindset is. But you can, on the stream, one of the cool things when you do internet radio, you can hit your 5 key, and if they're running titles on the screen, it'll say, you know, it'll give a title of Buddy Holly, Peggy Sue, 1957, 21. And if you hear that on Time Capsule, that means that was number 21 for the entire year, 1957 or whatever. I'm just made that up. I don't know what the number is. But, you know, something like that. So you can really get your music history that way. It's really cool. We play all kinds of stuff. Pop Gold is another good station. Pop Gold is basically an oldies format all the time from the 50s up through the mid-70s. But he does countdowns, too, on there. And they do one every week at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoons. And so they just did a thing. A lot of it's New York stations, or they do Cashbox. But like this coming week, they're going to do 1974 from WFIL in Philadelphia. They have done, they just did a combined countdown for the summer of 1970 from WABC and WMCA. And this they've got one coming up for 71 for also the summer, you know. And so that's a cool station. Let's see. So it's unfortunate we've lost some stations that we wish we still had. Oldies Alternative was a really nice oldies station out of Canada that we lost about 4 years ago. Remember, these guys that do this internet radio, they're usually doing it for a hobby. And so, you know, if they aren't, you know, they have to pay some copyright fees, you know, for music fees, royalty fees, and they pay it based on the listenership. So don't just let an internet radio station run that you're not listening to, because it's going to add to their fees, because they'll look at that and figure out how much they're going to owe. Well, sometimes people just run out of money. They can't do it, or they have other things come up in their lives. That was a great station. They used to play countdowns from CHUM in Toronto every Thursday. And, you know, that was great. And just their musical selection was great. There was another station that went down, Countdown Radio, that Jess and I used to listen to. And it was they would do songs that had made the top 10, but they would do it from year to year. So they had their own countdown. It wasn't like a national countdown. They would run the chart. So in other words, if you were number one that week, you got 10 points. If you're number 10, you got 1 point, and run it through the chart for the whole year and do these countdowns that were like sort of made up by them. But it was kind of cool, from 1956 through 1985, I think it was.
89.
Okay. Yeah. There were more years I wasn't listening to. That's right. So Tundex Memories was another really nice station out of Cleveland that I used to listen to. That was really cool. One that I listen to now, Carl's Gold, and a lot of the stations, you'll hear a few 50s mixed in with stuff, but this is more oriented to the 50s, but then it goes up into the 60s, back into the 40s, but he plays country a little bit. He plays comedy, all kinds of stuff, you know. One of the things that I've been listening to lately, I mentioned countdowns, and one of the stations is UK 1950s Radio, and at noontime and at midnight, they have a countdown for any cash box survey in the 1950s. So it could be, you know, and they're all like Saturdays, so you know, February 1st, 1958, or, you know, March 1st of 1952. And so I've learned a lot from the history from listening to these things. Then they do a country countdown the same way at 7 o'clock and 7 in the morning from over there. There are other shows that they play a lot of songs that were popular in England, and also we heard too, but you know, that isn't as interesting to me as those countdowns. That's where what I really enjoy off that. That's on Miss A. You can get that. So what about news? We talked about music. Well, news, WBZ. Well, it's a lot easier to get WBZ here, you know, even as close as we are in Quincy. Unfortunately, though, you're listening to all the iHeart commercials, and they play this, what's her name, Nikki Azalea thing about every minute or so. It's crazy. But they don't want to play the local ads. So WBZ is on there, and, you know, so you can listen to that way. WCBS, I listen to the, rather than watch it on Channel 4, I'll listen to the, when the Mets aren't playing, listen to the 6:30 news, you know, the CBS news, evening news from WCBS. You know, MSNBC, I've really, especially, starting about a year ago, maybe a year and a half, I started to listen to MSNBC a lot on there. I mean, I've got a TV, but, you know, whatever. I can just do it right with the stereo. I've got it in the stream, and I just listen to MSNBC, and that's really good. CNN is on there, too. C-SPAN radio. You know, you always have talk about C-SPAN television, you know, covering the House and the Senate and all the hearings and all that. Well, they've got C-SPAN radio. You can do it that way. It used to be on Sirius XM, but it's not anymore, I don't think. So there's that. And, of course, NPR stations. If you want any NPR stuff, that's all over the place from different you know, cities and so forth. Then there's sports. Now, different leagues have different rules about streaming. So the NHL streams everything. So you, if you know the flagship of a team, you'll get their hockey game on that station. And we can you can always find that out from people like me who know those things. MLB doesn't stream a whole lot, but some of the smaller stations do. There's a station like in Wabash, Indiana, that streams the Cubs, for example. Some of the Odyssey stations were doing it for a while, but they cut back. But now they're streaming locally. You'll hear on the Red Sox, they mention that they stream their games on devices like, you know, the stream or Miss A or whatever, all the way from Maine down to Fairfield County, Connecticut, because that's where the Yankees territory takes over. So they're doing that now for the Red Sox, and they're doing it regionally. But as far as nationally, you know, it's kind of few and far between. But you can get packages from Miss A that, you know, MLB, Steve has helped me get that, so I can get the games that way. NFL, it's catch as catch can. Some teams stream, some teams don't. NBA, not too much. Again, you need the XM. College football, they pretty much are streaming, I'd say mostly. So if you find out a team you're interested, like in Alabama, then even if you don't know the flagship, you can put in, you know, Tuscaloosa, put in, and if you go through your stream and you look for the sports stations, put them in, one of them's going to have Alabama, the other's going to have Auburn or something. You know, that's the way it works. There's stuff on Miss A that are stations, a specialized station. A friend of mine told me about one, iHeart 50s Radio. It's kind of like the 50s on 5 on Sirius XM, but it's, you know, basically the rock music of from 55 through the early 60s. So there's things like that. Then you've got old-time radio. There's tons of old-time radio on there. Now, I was lucky because, remember, I told you I started to listen to radio in the 53, 52, around in there. Well, when I got my own radio, there was still old-time radio, and Suspense was still on. Not just Suspense and Johnny Dollar and stuff that a lot of people remember, but I can remember Perry Mason having a soap opera before they had the TV show. I can remember Mr. Keen, Tracer of Lost Persons, and The Shadow. And a lot of these shows were just getting ready to go off in the next year or two, but I do remember them. I remember the lineup of soap operas on both CBS and NBC. So when the old-time radio means something to me. Some of them run them both. There's these two stations run them by date. So this Antioch Radio out of Illinois runs them. And if you hit your 5-key, it'll tell you the title, as we talked about before about music. It'll say something such and such originally broadcast August 19th, 1952. And then the next show tonight might be from August 19th, 1946 or whatever. So you get to find out when the shows were on, what day of the week it was, all that kind of stuff, you know. There's a station in Conyers, Georgia that does the same things. Then there's a station that some blind people are now running. Yesterday USA was started by this guy, Bill Bragg. Used to be even on cable systems. We had it on our cable for about a year in 90 and 91. Well, he died, and these two guys, the Gassmans, John and Larry Gassman, took it over, and this guy Walden, I forget what his last name is, And I think he's blind as well. And you know, so they're running that station. They're doing a fine job with that. But if you type in old time radio into the stream or OTR, you'll probably find 100 stations. You know, I'm just giving you my favorites. And the last one, and the one I listen to a lot, because it's only on the stream, but it's really good, is Golden Age News Network. And that's a station, and it just switched now. So if you want to catch it at the way it starts, they go from programming from 1933 up to about 1965, including the Kennedy assassination and stuff. And there's different emphases as you go through it, because at the beginning, it's a lot of news reports and leading up to World War II and all that. When you get into World War II, you get a lot of entertainment programs because they have all the armed forces shows that used to come back, Mail Call and, you know, Command Performance and things like that are mixed in with the news stories. So you go through World War II. Then you start getting, in about 46, 47, Meet the Press comes on, and they have a very complete collection of Meet the Presses. So if you want to sound like what Kennedy, like right after he won his senatorial, I heard his interview with them right after he'd won this for the Senate in 1952, or Joe McCarthy, or Barry Goldwater, or, you know, whoever. You know, so these voices you maybe remember when you were a kid or you've heard of, they were big figures in history. You know, you can see the way the government was, the country was run, because it was more collegial. You know, even though people didn't agree, and a lot of the same debates are still occurring, there was more feeling of being colleagues and working on it together. People were friends on both sides of the aisle, and you could tell that, you know. And the reporters were not as adversarial as they are now. They, as they said in the slogan for the show, they were just trying to get the story for them, so that what didn't reflect necessarily their opinions. So, but it was a good show, and you know, it's still on, of course. But it goes, that all runs up, and then bunches of stuff about the Kennedy assassination. That's like a whole day when that comes on. Bunch of stuff about D-Day, bunch of stuff about VJ Day and VE Day, you know, all these things. And really, I've always loved history. One of my favorite things I used to enjoy when I was a kid, and I got to hear a few times, was that Edward R. Murrow, I can hear it now. And this is the real stuff. Some of those were recreations. You can hear the real way that it sounded that night when the war ended on CBS, not the way you hear it on the Edward R. Murrow, because they didn't have the recordings. You know, people got them later. People became collectors and found things that, you know, through the Internet, because they would talk to each other. That's true of old-time radio. Every episode of some shows are available, because when you go through those dates with those stations that do the dates, you can hear it's just this day, that day. They've got, you know, from different years, Jack Benny, Fibber McGee and Molly, Suspense. They're just all there. People collected them, and they got them to each other, and they're good quality, too. They sound great. So radio is magic. It really is now. It's unbelievable what you can get. So that's my spiel. But any questions or comments?
Well, I was just wondering, is there anybody who would like to have a review of how to look for stations on the Victor stream? Are people familiar with that?
Well, again, I can just, again, I'll talk about it if I did for a minute, but basically, let's say you're looking for WBZ. Now, we did this at a meeting one time. We had a little, breakout at one of the fall conferences. And so what we did was we had, I think, I don't know who had their stream, Brian or somebody, typed in WBZ, and you got it like 34 results or something. And you go through, and the first one was WBZ News Radio 1030, but then you might get WBZF from, Milwaukee, or, you know, there's all anything that sounds like it or has a B or a Z, whatever. So you just go through and you can make it a favorite. So there's with your stream above your three key is a key that you can hit to make it a favorite. And then you hit the pound key and it's added to favorites. So what you end up doing is you have things so you can find them. So one of the aggravating things about Miss A is you have to say sometimes different things, and some days it works and some days it doesn't. Like I've had some people have had. I had a friend call up a couple of weeks ago. She was having trouble getting Ride Radio. Well, I got it right away on Miss A, and it was fine for me. But you know, she was having trouble. So because something was called the Ride, she was from New Jersey. Something was called the Ride in her area. There was a gospel station, so it may have interfered with the way it processed it because she was in New Jersey. So Miss A is a little tricky about that. I mean, she's good too because there's less work to put them in. But once you get them into the stream, they're there until they change their URLs. And, the technical folks know what URL stands for, but, you know, where it is on the computer. And if that happens, then Utunes has to update the database. So you've got a lot of old dead soldiers sometimes on the stream that you just go through and right. find, well, they're not just not there. But you don't want to delete them if they're one of your favorites, because it could be just a temporary outage and it'll be back in a couple of days. So if you want to listen to them in the future, you got to be a little patient with it and just see if it comes back, because it might, but it might not. I've just listed some of the ones that went away for good, you know?
So you go on the stream and you look for, on the bookshelf, it's called
internet radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the first step, is to go onto that.
And then you hit your 6 key and go through to what says search on iTunes. Then you hit your pound key, and then it asks you to type in what you want.
Mm-hmm. Chris, this is Mary. So is there a way of so let's say I would love to find a station on the Victor stream that plays music from the 70s and 80s, let's say.
Yeah.
How might I search for that?
I think you could do that. I think you could write 70S and hit the 0 for space, 80S, and you probably get, I think he probably has his database organized that way. You could probably get
There's another way to do that.
Isn't there a genre? Yeah,
you can look by genre.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you get a list of, and it's a long list, but one of the things you'll find in there is 70s. And then when you, if you see that and you hit enter or you hit the pound key on that, you will then get a list of stations, all of which, now not every one of them that appears in that list is going to be a 70s station, because sometimes it'll be, 70s, 80s, 90s, or 60s, 70s, 80s, or sometimes those things just appear for no good reason that anybody knows. So you'll have to do a little bit of sifting. Mm-hmm. But in general, that will give you at least a list of stations. And before you add them to your favorites, you can always play the station, find out if you like it.
Right.
And if you don't, then you just move on. And if you do like it, then you can do what Chris said with the bookmark key and add it to your favorites.
Right.
So Chris or Steve, do you recommend any good stations from the 70s and, well, not combined, the 70s or 80s? Any interesting stations that I might...
It's such a personal thing, Mary, because sometimes you might find 10 stations that all play 70s music, but you might find that of those 10, one of them plays the same 10 songs every hour.
And another
one plays only the really exotic weird stuff from the 70s, or another has screaming commercials that drive you up a wall. So.
Or all disco or whatever. Yeah.
Right? Oh, I love disco. I love disco.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
You really have to just experiment and kind of find what fits your particular taste.
Yes, have you found any for the 70s and 80s that you like?
I like the Casey Kasem, the Classic American Top 40.
That's right.
Oh, I do. I would like that too. So, is there a station that plays that?
Yeah, you tell them to say to play Classic American Top 40 on iHeartRadio.
Okay, well, but on the Victor Mary's stream, trying though, to do it on the stream.
I don't know how to get it.
Oh, okay. Well, and, maybe and I can again, try typing Casey Kasem. I don't know.
Well, I would type in American Top 40.
That would be easier. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But remember that if you type in American Top 40, you may get stations that, you see, the way they find the stations is every station puts out some kind of a tag of what it is. Uh-huh. On the description on their website. And so, you might find a station that says American Rock. Well, that's going to show up if you type American Top 40. Another one will say Top 40, but that's not Casey Kasem. So
America's Great Radio Station or something, you know.
You're still going to have a lot of sifting to do.
Yes. Yes.
You might be able to get it by the show, but usually what happens with the shows like that is they broadcast them at a certain time in the week, but I don't think you'll find a station that plays.
No, there is. There is.
Is there one?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what Jess is saying. There is one. Then, I have it on my stream.
Then to get that, we'd need to know what the name of that, the specific name of that station. And you could probably find that out, Chris,
classic,
by going to your playlist.
Hang on. Yeah. Hang on. Let me see if I can.
It's Classic American Top 40, isn't it?
I think you're right, Jess. I think you're
classic American.
Okay. So I can type that in and see what comes up. Okay.
Right. Yep.
Right. Yeah. I'm really curious to know whether for people that have the stream and Lady A, with the stream, you have to be on Wi-Fi to listen to the station.
Yes.
But it's the same with Lady A.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No different. Right. So I think what you were saying, Chris, was that there's some on either one that you won't find on the
I mean, like, right? You know, Golden Age News Network, mostly they're on both. Most everything's on both. Yeah. But there are a few that might be on just the stream because they were put into iTunes and didn't get to Miss A, and there might be some that's on Miss A that aren't on the stream. But he tries to update his stuff, and if people tell him, people have requested stations from him, and you know, and or station has changed URLs, and they'll tell him, and he'll do it, you know, within a week or two, and you know, he's been good about it. So,
one of the things I don't like about Lady A is that you can't say to her, find me a station in San Francisco. You know, you have to say, you have to know what it's called. You know.
Well, and there's another wrinkle to Lady A as well. You can tell her to either play stations from a given company. So for instance, you can say, play XYZ from iHeartRadio or from iTunes or from Odyssey. But sometimes you get bagged because if you don't know what company the thing is actually a part of, she won't be able to find it. And then you think you haven't got it, but it's really there. But it's because you didn't know where to look.
Yeah.
And you know, so that's
and sometimes they grandfather you in. Like what happened right at the start of the baseball season, Intercom became Odyssey. But they let people still ask for Intercom for a while, but they said it's now Odyssey, and they play it for you. But now, if you said Intercom, you probably wouldn't get it. So if you miss that little curve, you might not be able to find it as easily.
Right. But like I can say, play WBZ 1030, and I don't have to say from iHeart.
No, you don't. Come up. You don't.
Well, because it once it figures out that that's where it is, and it knows that that's what you want to listen to, it'll keep playing that.
Okay.
But for a while, when BZ was part of, I think they were on iTunes, and then they switched to iHeart. And for a while, couldn't get them.
TuneIn. That's what I'm trying to say. TuneIn.
Yeah, is what it was.
Yeah.
And for a while, you couldn't get BZ to play without saying "Play WBZ News from iHeartRadio."
That's right. I had to reset. BZ was like right at the bottom of my stream. And that's the thing about the streams, though. You can't reorder. So if the ride changed providers, it went from my number one station up to like 410, and then it went down to, it's now down to 398, you know, moving its way up the charts, you know, because other stations have fallen by the wayside or, you know, all the ACB things added a lot to that because we deleted all the old ACB things that were on the stream to put in the new ones. And because they weren't going to work anymore. So that dropped the ride down a few that way, you know. So,
something that you may not know about, Chris, but it might be useful for other people, is on the stream, you can search by specific words, but you can also search. They have a series of playlists that they have already put in. And a lot of the stations that many people look for are on those lists already. So you don't have to go looking for them. You just have to look through the list. The way you can search on the streaming, there's a number of different ways. You can search by genre. You can search by specific words. Or you can use their recommended playlist that comes with the stream.
Could you say Chicago and it would bring up all the stations in Chicago?
Yes, it will do that.
Oh, that's cool.
And you'll find, it's amazing. You do something like that, it'll say 135 stations or something like that. And then you just go through and see what you think you want to hear and, you know, hit the hit your play key. And if it sounds good, hit your favorite and put it in.
Now, some of those will be repeats because stations stream in a number of different bit rates. And the reason they do that is if you have a, say, for instance, you have a dial-up. Now, not too many people have dial-up anymore, but there are people that do. You can't get high-quality audio to go over something like dial-up because you just don't have the bits, the bandwidth to do it. So stations will stream at a lower bit rate for people who have slow networks. And that's why you'll find repeats, because you'll find the high quality ones and the lower quality ones. And you can usually tell because the lower quality ones will say, have a number in parentheses, like 64. Oh. The higher quality would be 128 or 256K. And so sometimes if you see repeats, just kind of look for those additional numbers to tell you which are the low band and which
you
are
also have some simulcasts that are the same thing. So you might find WBBM, AM, and FM, which you would in Chicago, and you could get either one because they're going to still do the news that, you know, one's on AM, one's on FM, and they won't sound any different on your stream. It won't make any difference to you, but you can pick 780 or the one on FM if you want.
And some of the also stations. So go ahead, Steve.
You also have stations now that are broadcasting on HD as well. So that adds to the duplication because, you know, we have stations here, like for instance,
WGBH
on their HD channel on HD3 is rebroadcasting WCAI from the Cape and Islands.
Right.
So you might actually find that showing up in two different places. It'll show up as WCAI, but it'll also show up as WGBH HD3.
And then you've got a lot of, like BUR has all those stations down the Cape. So if you type in WBUR, you might get 10 entries, and they may all be BUR of one form or another.
Yeah.
Tim, what were you going to say?
I was going to say what Steve said, but the other thing I was going to ask, Chris, or maybe Steve knows this. I know you can also get foreign stations, and my question is, are any of the external shortwave English services on the stream?
I can't tell you for certain that they are, but I would imagine that they would be. So, and if you look in, well, the genres will tell you some of it, but if you searched for, say, BBC, you could find it that way. You could probably search for Radio Netherlands or Deutsche Welle if you wanted
CBC,
to.
CBC, yeah.
CBC, yeah, any of that. Now, the other thing that gets into this is that a lot of stations have their own apps, which if you were using your iPhone, you could just download their app. CBC has an app, BBC has an app, and that's kind of a mixed bag for us because some of the apps are easy to use and some of them are a royal pain. So, you know, but it's another way that you can skin the proverbial cat, if that's what you looking to do.
I have definitely gotten, like I have New Zealand classical. Yep.
Okay.
On the stream, I've gotten, and I think, you know, we have North America playlist, but there's other playlists.
Yes.
With different languages. Like I went into Polish one time just to hear it. I didn't understand where they were saying, but, you know, so there's a lot of stuff on there.
But the polkas were great.
Even on radio, you can do BBC. You get the BBC World Service.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Chris, is there? Let's say you you want to hear Rush Limbaugh 24 hours a day. Is there? can you get talk stations all across the country?
And
yes.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if you typed in Rush Limbaugh's name if there isn't an all Rush just a thing on the internet that would be playing all Rush all the time. You know those greatest hits Rush shows that they did
yes.
after he died?
Yeah.
I'm sure they're going to run till time, you know, ends because
I understand though that if you subscribe to any of those, there's a possibility that it will melt the Wi-Fi chip in your stream.
Well, yeah, so the other thing that happens is if you're sitting in a chair, it starts to tip more and more to the right. So try to make sure you're as far to the left in your chair as you can.
So, Chris, I'd like you to talk a little bit because I've heard the show and it is interesting. Talk a little bit about the Let's Talk.
All Things Radio.
All Things Radio, yeah.
Yeah, and I said the same thing. Bob Bittner on WJIB used to have a show called Let's Talk About Radio, and that was a great show. And this is very similar to that. So this they've been on since 2009, and I just started as like a listener and then a caller. And, you know, and then when we were getting, you know, one time I went on to the listener line and gave a whole – people were talking about who had done Notre Dame football. So I went through a whole history of – and, of course, that was a national product. The Notre Dame games were on ABC and Mutual. So I went through and talked about what years people did them and stuff. And Bill said, wow, this is really good. So they then opened it up in, like, 17 to have a segment where the different ones of us would come on and talk. And Sean from Austin and Gary from Austin. Who else did we have? Oh, and of course, Jeff Bennett runs the show and so forth. But then they decided just to change the whole format about a year later and just make it like just a panel show. So we have the features. So the first feature is they go through the radio news and they go through the radio ratings. For example, it was very interesting to find out for Boston. They happened to do Boston this week. They do the top three on the major markets. Number one was WROR, which wasn't surprising because they have been number one most of the time. Number two is WKLB. They came out of nowhere. They're usually a contender, top six, seven, or eight, but they're never in the top three. And then KISS 108 was number three. But so we do that. Yeah. Well, hey, there's people out there. So we do that, and then people will comment on those things. And then Jennifer Sparks, Bill's wife, does the call letter and format changes, and then we talk about that a little bit or anything else that comes up that we know of around the radio industry. And then there's usually some classic air checks and stuff. We get to comment on those, that's fun. Because one of the things that happens with these air checks is they are mislabeled. People just say, oh, June of 1971, but they don't really know when it was, or they have the wrong date. They've typed something in wrong when they put it out. So people don't always know. Well, I sit there, and I listen to what's in the air check, and often I can come up with a date because something will be in the news, something will be in the sports, of the air check, and I can figure out and give it a real date, you know, so that we know when the thing happened. So that's kind of fun. So it's just a discussion of radio. You know, it's an hour and a half show, 6:30 to 8 o'clock on Thursday nights, and then it's on a podcast. You can get it from Miss A from the Legend Oldies podcast, and then you know you can get it on Fillmore if you call his box 773-572-3006. All Things Radio is on there. The Coffee Club is on there, as is Sports Lounge Live, which is our show on Tuesdays.
And you can probably get it on the stream because the stream will do podcasts too, right?
Yes, so it will. Yes, sure. You can.
Oh, sure it is. Yep. Yeah.
The other thing, Chris, that's interesting, and I'd like you to comment on this because, you know, you listen back to all these classic air checks. Well, now, you know, my understanding, a lot of these stations, you have one guy who's doing the broadcast for, you know, 10 stations across the country in all different markets.
Yep.
And so, and he just puts in little blurbs for each market, but you can't tell, you know, you don't know that it's one guy who's, you know, it's totally different. It's not local anymore.
Yeah. Voice tracking is what they call it. And so people, so that local radio, unless you get the small town stations like WATD or something like that, you know, where it's really run locally and they're going to do local news, they're going to do local sports, going to do, the weather is legitimate. Rob Gilman is a wonderful weather forecaster and this and that. You know, you end up with just generic radio. That guy is going to be heard in Seattle and St. Louis and Sheboygan, and it's not going to matter. And he's going to just throw in a few things here and there. Hey, hope the Packers win tonight for Sheboygan, and say, hey, hope the Seahawks win tonight, and they might be playing each other. And he has to say, both cities, you know.
But you know, even with small stations, there's no guarantee that it isn't automated. And an example of that, if you want to think about it, after the countdown show on Ride Radio,
yeah,
Rick puts the automation on. And that is so well done that unless you're really paying attention, you are not going to know that it's automated. I mean, yeah, he has time checks in there. He has little promos in there. And you know, that can, because of what you can do with computers, you can get even the time checks. You know, it used to be you could tell a station was automated because they would say, it's 14 minutes past the hour.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, he says, it's 9:14, because what happens is the software looks at the computer clock, and if it calls for a time check, he's recorded something that says it's 9:14, and that's the one that it plays.
Yep.
And he can sit there and just let that thing run for hours without even touching it.
That's right. No, he's done a great job. And again, quality radio, because yep, he really put a lot of work into that. And it's the really, it, you can argue, if especially if you like the music, but even if you don't, it's one of the best run radio stations on the internet.
David, I agree with a question.
David.
Yeah, David.
Could you mention again the name of that station that you talked about, where you could get, you know, old Meet the Press and VJ Day and all of
Golden Age News Network. Golden Age News Network.
And where
can you get that on Alexa?
Do you get that? I mean,
that you can get that on your stream. You just type it in.
Not on Alexa.
No. Golden Age News Network. And yep, how would you know? I mean, you just put it in and it shows up and you listen to what you listen. Is there a way you can know what the actual programming is, when certain things are going to
happen? No, but what's going to happen, he tries to rotate things a little bit. So he just started in the 30s, about 33 or so today, and it's going to take him, 6 weeks to get through to the other end of the tunnel there. And so you just sort of keep your ear out, because he there's something he's always going to play, like NBC's coverage of D-Day. He's just always going to play that from WEAF in New York, which was the old 660, later became WNBC.
That was Golden Age News Network.
Network. Yeah.
And I have U-Tunes on my iPhone. Can I get it?
It should be in there too.
Okay, Golden Age. Thank you.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. If you love history and politics, you'd really get a kick out of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Chris, is WABC still there? Because you mentioned that earlier.
Yes, it is.
And WLS?
They're there.
Yeah.
So they're talk stations now, and okay. WABC is not owned. WLS, most of the ABC stations were bought by Cumulus, and WLS is still owned by Cumulus. WABC was bought by somebody else. They sold that off to an independent guy, and he's got some local talk, but mostly it's syndicated. But on the weekends, he does Cousin Brucey comes back on there.
Oh, my gosh.
And he comes on Saturday nights from, 6 to 8 or something like that. And then they have another guy that comes on and does some other oldies after that. So they're trying to keep a little bit of a local flair to it. And they've got, like most talk shows, they have a couple, one in the morning, maybe one in the afternoon, kind of local shows. But, you know, there's a lot of talk is syndicated around the country.
Right. WCBS-FM was doing a lot of the old kind of reruns of the old ABC jocks. I mean, Dan Ingram had stuff on there at one point. And is that still true, or have they?
I'm not sure, because I think I think they're not oldies anymore. I think they're Jack FM, so I don't think they do that.
Oh, that could
anymore.
Be, yeah. But you know, now, and that's part of the problem, because that stuff changes so fast.
Chris, for a while, I know this was maybe a year ago. On Sunday nights, WBZ was playing like old Larry Glick shows, old David Brudnoy shows. Yep. Did they stop that?
I think they have. I went by one Sunday night, and they seem to have a regular talk show host there. I don't know who or what they're exactly doing, but yeah, they did. They did that just for a little while. What I'm enjoying, and I hope they put it all together when we get closer to September 19th, is those little drop-ins they're doing from the history of WBZ. You know, because of course it's their 100th anniversary coming up, and I hope they have a whole special, you know. But nowadays, it isn't it isn't Westinghouse anymore, it isn't Group W anymore, it isn't even Intercom anymore. So it's like three owners down the road, and so you like people don't have a real feel for, you know, you've got people in the stations that 20 years old, they don't know Carl DeSouze from Dave Maynard from, you know,
I was going to say, and most of those people are dead. I mean, Gary LaPierre's gone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the thing, you know, and it goes back. I mean, BZ had an interesting history. If you, and one of the things, of course, you can do on the stream is do Wikipedia. And if you type in WBZ, there's quite a history. It started at the Eastern States Exposition, but it also was out in the middle of a state millis for quite a long time. And didn't move into Boston until like the late 30s, early 40s. They got their transmitter in Hull, I think, during World War II. They were in like on the smaller networks. They weren't on Mutual because NAC was always on Mutual, but they were on like what later became ABC. But they finally got their NBC affiliation in 1942 because once they moved in, they really had a powerhouse signal. But they were then stronger than the other stations because WNAC. Well, at that time, was on 1260. Well, that doesn't go anywhere. You know, even back then, it wasn't anywhere near what 1030 could do. So, you know, you had a lot of interesting things. I'd love to read a history of, like, Boston. When I retire, and somebody like Donna Halper, I'm sure, has written a book about it, and that she's on a lot of times with different people, with Morgan and Jordan Rich and stuff, and talks about a lot of this stuff. So a lot of Boston radio would be interesting to hear about. But if you go on Wikipedia and you type in WEI or WHGH or WBZ, you can find out a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah,
what
she wrote a whole book on Jerry.
WHGH, did you say? Wasn't that a,
what,
like a
what, no, Sharon?
Soft rock? There was something on AM
okay.
that I used WHGH, to like.
WHGH was an interesting station. And
is
at one time they were really the most popular station in town because okay. what they had was they started out and they were like, I think they were in ABC back in the day, you know, so BZ was in back in the day when NBC Blue and Red, the Red was the big deal network where all the bigger stars were, the Blue was not. HGH, I think, was in that, but I think about 1943, they got out of it, started to program independently. There were stations around the country that were starting to do that and having some success, like WNEW in New York and stuff. So they were playing the music of the day, and of course it was middle-of-the-road music because that's what there was, big bands and all that. 1946, they picked up the Red Sox. And the Braves, because they were both broadcasting the home games. They weren't doing road games until 51. So HGH got them. Then they got the Bruins and Celtics. So they became your big league stations for music, news, and sports. So they were still middle of the road, you know, and stuff. And they had the, you know, Jess Kane was their big morning guy, you know, by the late 50s. And so HGH was very popular in the 50s and 60s. With if you got into somebody's car that was over 35, they were listening to WHGH because the ball game had been on there, or Jess Kane was on there, or, you know, Norm Nathan at night, or whoever. They enjoyed HGH. It was right there, ratings-wise, with BZ and MEX, you know, right behind the rock stations. So then they got sold. The Herald, they were owned by the Herald Traveler. And so they used to say, for Boston Herald News as it breaks, it's WHGH in the morning. And then they'd say, for Boston Traveler News as it breaks, it's WHGH in the afternoon, because the Traveler was the afternoon paper and the Herald was the morning paper. Well, they got sold in 1970. Well, what happened was Channel 5 lost its license, HGH TV. Somebody tried to do some inside deal with, and they got caught. And so Channel 5 lost its license. And that was the big money maker of the company. Of course, the newspaper wasn't making much money in the early 70s. And they lost the radio station, too. So they just had the paper, and the paper's been sold many times since. So they were bought by various people, and they became more adult contemporary, and they lost the Red Sox. And, you know, but then they became a talk station, and they were pretty popular doing that. Their big talk show hosts were, at various points, Avi Nelson and David Brudnoy, you know, before they went to other stations. So HGH had quite a history, and they had a sad end because what happened to them, not the fact that it changed, they moved, they wanted to get a better signal for EEI, and EEI bought 850, and EEI was at 590, but 850 was a better signal with a better range. So what they did was they moved the EEI sports format over to 850, which is fine, but whoever the Nudnik was at the end of the last shift on HGH, they said, you know, WHGH is signing off, and he flushed a toilet. And that was the last sound heard on WHGH. Going down the toilet. Okay.
Chris, could you talk about, and this was really an amazing thing. When I was a kid, I was a huge fan of Larry Glick.
Oh, yeah.
Who was on at nighttime on BZ, and that's when BZ hit 38 stage because it was a clear station.
They
clear
still
channel.
Did. They and still half do. A can.
Yeah,
they still do, and half of Canada too. While you're
right, so why did he? Why did he leave BZ where he had was doing so well, and go to WHGH and go on days?
Well, I think what happened, well, he probably liked to work days and got sick of getting up, you know, being sleeping when everything else was going on. But also, I think the ratings were not as good. And he'd moved. At one point, he ended up moving from 8 to midnight. He was bouncing around a little bit. He was on that midnight shift from like 68. He started in Boston. He'd been around in Miami and stuff, but he started on MEX, and he had to stay out. I think he left MEX in February of 68, and he couldn't broadcast until November 1st of 68, and that's when he came back, you know, and he said, I won't even tell you. I think he did a weird thing for like an hour. I won't even tell you who this is, but if you can guess who this is, you'll win a swell prize. You know, and of course, people knew who he was and all that. And so then he was on the All Night Show for maybe about 10 years, but they also moved him to earlier in the day because they sent Dave Maynard to the All Night Show as a punishment because he didn't log things in right. You know, so they dumped him to the All Night Show for about a year. And that was in about 78. So I think he just got tired of doing the All Night, and he was getting a little older. And so HGH offered him more money than BZ was willing to pay at that time. Because BZ was, you know, paying people. It wasn't like they were going broke. And they were doing okay ratings-wise, but HGH was looking for something and to beef up the middle of the day, so they grabbed him.
But the thing that was too bad was, from what I understand, all those great tapes he had didn't go with him. So all those great, you know, stories and stuff about the guy with the monkey and all these things and the Graveyard Marauder and all these things didn't go with him when he went to HGH.
Well, you wonder what happened to all those, whether any of his, because he was married a few times, whether his last wife might have saved them or something, and maybe put together, there might be an archive. If you went on YouTube and typed in Larry Glick, maybe you'd find some tapes.
Yeah, yeah.
And because somebody, I will guarantee you that somebody somewhere has put all of that stuff up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Is BC still as strong in ratings as it was?
Yes.
Yes.
They are, even though they're lousy now. I mean, I used to call it News Nuggets 10:30 even before this, but now that it's iHeart, it's worse. And you know, online insane. they play the same commercials over and over. But I got to tell you a story about Kathy, and we were listening to WCBS the other night to listen to the news because the Mets weren't on. They were going to play later. So we're listening, and within 15 minutes we heard 10. I promise you, 10 commercials for the Macy's Back to School sale on Monday night within 15 minutes. Wow. That's what internet and radio can do. The automation doesn't know what it's doing, and it just does what it does. They played one time 3 in a row and one time 4 in a row.
Yeah, but I've heard that even on commercial stations. I've heard the same.
Me too.
I've heard two commercials, the same commercial played back to back.
Yeah. This was 3 and 4, and they played 10 and 15 minutes. That was the worst. Yeah. That's a record for me, that one.
Go ahead, Tim. The other show that I used to listen to a lot in the 70s, and I know it's on some of the internet stations because I've heard it, but apparently the guy who produced it, Hyman Brown, his family has all the rights, so you can't get the real good copies, is the CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yeah. I'm not sure, again, if you typed in Mystery Theater, what would come up, but you might find, you know, because some of these old-time radio stations do play them.
Yes,
but I don't know if there's an all-mystery. Like, I've heard all state, there's an all-Gunsmoke old-time radio station, for example.
Really?
So
wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
So, you know,
I'd like to listen to that one.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's WCRW or something. I forget what the call letters are. But if you go, again, type in old-time OTR on your stream, it's in there. I know it's there. So, so there could be an all-mystery theater in the mix somewhere. I don't know.
Yeah, well, the other thing that's interesting is a lot of these old-time radio shows now, they're getting the original copies and they're restoring them, and it's pretty amazing how good some of them sound.
The digital remastering is phenomenal.
Excuse me, but before we continue, I just wondered if anyone else who hasn't been able to ask a question has one. I just wanted to make sure if anybody had any questions about... finding stations or
Sharon, could I jump in at some point in time?
Go ahead, Frank.
Sure.
Okay, so Chris, this has been wonderful. The question is, when are you going to take it to the next level with your own station?
All the things I'm going to do when I retire, like read books that I am not assigned to read and things like that, will be on. And you know, if we're not too old and decrepit, Steve is the kind of guy that could help me get started because he's very, very good at that stuff. So,
Chris, what would you play?
I don't think I would do a station. I would want to do like a show, like go to Bill Sparks and say, hey, you know, and Bill has said he would help anybody that wants to get started too. So, I mean, I would go to Bill and say, you know, because he's very open to people putting shows on. So, you know, what were you going to say, Tim?
Incredible.
I'm going to say, what, if you were going to do a show, what do you think you would do? What kind of stuff do you think you'd play?
I would probably do stuff from the early 50s because that's played so little. And I could do the whole 50s. I don't mind playing. Obviously, I love rock and roll. But no, I mean, I do. You know, my main thing is 50, you know, 50s and early 60s. But I mean, I have learned more about the early 50s. It started with Bob Moak on XM and, you know, learned stuff. I mean, I knew the music somewhat, but I didn't know what they'd say. Sometimes they'd say a song came out in 52. Sometimes they'd say 53. And I didn't know. Now I've got a real chronology because I'm listening to these countdowns. So it's, you know, okay, this was still on. And, you know, these songs stayed on the charts forever. So you might get on in January and be on till July. I mean, Goodnight Irene was number one for like 17 weeks or something, you know, in 1950. So, you know, these things do happen. But at least I'm getting a feel for how they relate to each other. Mm. And the more of that stuff in the 40s and 50s for Time Capsule and the countdowns and stuff, the more you get a feel for the time. And you see the change from 50 to 51. It's amazing. The 1950, you listen to a lot of that song, and they sound so much like the 40s. But you go to 51, where Guy Mitchell becomes popular, and the Ames Brothers, and you know, different ones that weren't around before, and the Four Aces. And it's just a different, it's not rock and roll, but it's a little uptick, you know, it's more modern sounding. You would be able, and when I put on sometimes the Time Capsule and I don't know a song, I'll say, I bet that's 1950 or, you know, because it just sounds like the 40s, you know, so yeah, there were little subtle changes.
Wow. Let me ask a question about, if you go like say on Amazon's, you know, like Alexa's, say, play 60s rock.
Yeah.
How is that?
What you'd probably get is songs that were in the top 10 or 15. You know, if that's what you want, okay, and you just want to hear. But I mean, what you want to do is if you are interested in an artist or you're interested, you know, things like that. That's what you want to do because you can get pretty obscure with Miss A. Now again, there's duplication on that. Because you'll maybe have five, you know, if it's Neil Diamond, you might have five copies of Sweet Caroline for various reasons. You know, you don't even know why they're there. They're just there. But if you keep going and going and going, you might find something that you only heard like five times and really loved or a great album cut. And of course, you can ask for albums on there too. So
I've done that. Yeah. That's pretty,
you know,
cool. Yeah.
But those kind of things are pretty generic because they're looking at what people have thumbed up on their iPhones and this and that. So they're fairly generic playlists. If that iHeart Fit 1950s, that's not going to be anything but it might be fun to just sort of hang out and listen to, but it's not going to be anything I haven't heard in a long time. But The Ride, he may play something that I've only heard a few times or whatever. And he also will add things to the automation. So like if some people request things on a Saturday, he might decide, you know, I'll put that in the automation. That's pretty good. I didn't realize that was such a good song. So he's always changing his automation. It's really a cool thing.
Well, the other thing, Chris, you know, you were talking about obscure people. And I mean, one guy who used to play a lot of 50s stuff who, you know, but it was really obscure stuff was like Ted McCaw.
Oh yeah. He did.
And his stuff, I didn't know, and I used to listen to 50s music when I was a kid, but I didn't know three quarters of the stuff he played. I mean, every one of these decades, you can find stuff that's really obscure.
You can. And Jenny was good, too, because his wife at the time, because what she would do is play that. She had all her records from the late 40s. Her family had them. Her mother ran a record label. And so she had records going back from the 40s and the 50s, and she played. But she didn't know much about the music, so I'd say, oh, I see that you played such and such together because that makes sense that you did that. You know, oh, I didn't realize that it was, you know, some people know the music and they play it and some people don't. And Jen didn't know it, but she's a nice person, but she didn't really know, but she loved it. You know, that was the point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is interesting how the stuff changes even just from year to year.
Oh, yeah. Well, look at 63 to 64. I mean, And really, it's the middle of 64 where you really get the feel, because what happened in the first half of 64, the British invasion was going on, but it didn't take over until about July when the Rolling Stones and stuff joined the fray. And then it really became, you know, the formulaic charts where you've got X number of British songs, X number of, there's some folk, X number of folk rock, X number of Motowns, and then the wild cards, six or eight wild cards. And that's the way it went for 3 or 4 years there. But there's a real difference, a chart from February of 64, except for the Beatles sneaking in and maybe the Swinging Blue Jeans with Hippie Hippie Shake or something. That's pretty much a carryover from 63, where there's sort of a doo-wop-ish sound. There's certainly a folk component. You know, there's just miscellaneous good stuff. You know, a lot of good harmonies, a lot of good music. 63 is one of my favorite years, and early 64. But when you get to July, there's a sameness that comes over it that you don't have. So they're really, if you lived it, you could feel it, but I didn't know that about 50 and 51. I mean, it was in the world, but I didn't know that it really, so many new people came to the block and changed the style right there in the middle of the early 50s, you know?
Do you think one reason that, like, WJIB is so popular is because he, you know, he plays all these kind of really, and I think he's only got, what, like, 10,000 songs or something in his whole vault, but I mean he plays all these songs that you don't hear anywhere else, and of course there's no commercials.
Yeah, but how popular is it though? I mean, do we even know?
Okay, the issue is, there's a few issues. First of all, I bet he doesn't subscribe to the rating services because that costs money, and he just wants to run his station and have fun with it, and he doesn't want to get on the internet. If he got on the internet, it would be a very popular station. People would like it around the country, huh? WJIB.
Where is that?
Yeah, you can't get it from Worcester. It's in Cambridge.
And he's got another station up in Maine and stuff. So no, you wouldn't get it from out there. But
even Alexa,
it's AM.
Yeah, no, she.
He's not on the internet.
He's not on the internet.
No.
So, but he just doesn't like computers and whatever. So he just doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to play all those.
He's still using reel to reel tapes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not even using, any kind of automated system or anything.
Yeah.
But he does have an FM outlet now on.
Yes. 90. What is it? 94.
101.3,
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's it. Yeah.
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 Oh, well, I have a question, Chris. Is there any, I know a couple of years ago they tried this and this failed. Is there any left wing talk radio left?
Well, of course, NPR is pretty liberal. But
they're not really left wing. I mean,
no,
you're thinking of things like Air America and stuff like
right,
that.
Right? There's no. I mean, they failed.
WHMP. I think in Northampton runs some liberal talk, and I think
You'd expect that out there. Because
right, but I mean, I think they're running syndicated stuff. One of the people that's still on is Stephanie Miller, for example.
Oh, wow, okay.
And she's also on a station in Chicago too. One of the stations.
Was part of the Air America crowd.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But the thing is that the left wing could never really make. They never had the money. They never had the backing.
No. They didn't really have the talent.
Think. Well, even if they did, they couldn't. They weren't going to be paying the big bucks anyway because they didn't have it.
Yeah,
they've never been able to get, because the right wing has always been very well organized when it came to money. And
I don't
know. They can.
There is a station in Chicago that definitely does do that. So check them out. You go into Chicago on your stream and you'll find it. I don't want to give you call letters that are wrong.
Yeah, no, I'll look it up. Yeah.
There's one.
Because it is interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is awesome, Chris. And I got to say, I think you should be a spokesman for the stream, because Steve told me what you'd done with the stream in terms of the radio stations and how you'd taken to it and how you were like the stream expert. And I was like, oh my God, that's so awesome.
Well, I do it my way because I know a lot of call letters from before, or I know, and I'll do the cities. But Steve's right. There's other ways to do, more than one way to skin the proverbial cat. And, of course, I had to say that because Kathy's down here, and she hates when anybody talks about skinning any cats. But anyway, so, it's fun. It's fun. And, when I get a new stream, you know, unfortunately they don't last the way they should, but when you get a new stream, it's almost like your birthday again. You sit there and you get started, and you might, and you know, an hour later you got 50 stations in there, because you want to put your old favorites. Now, oh, I can put things where I want them, you know, WBZ's, you know, I can put that down the bottom part and this and that, you know, and you end up but your the thing that's frustrating is things will get screwed up. Like one of the stations will change in your geographical, you know, the Philadelphia stations are all messed up because they made some changes and some of them aren't working. And so if I find them again, I'm going to have to put them in up near the top and things like that. I like to have cities together too. I think that's kind of fun.
Well the other thing go ahead, Steve.
I don't want to rain on your parade here, Chris, but if we knew that you were thinking about getting a new stream, we can export all of the ones that you have in the old one and then just load them into the new one.
Right. But there's something too about reorganizing them and putting things kind of in a little different order too.
Yeah, you can do that. I mean that can also be done, but
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't have to manually key them in every time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can just pull the old card out of your old stream.
Right. Well, no, because that's not where it lives. It lives in the internal memory.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know that. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The card is kind of a secondary thing, but the actual.
So do you have to use that? Yeah, that companion software.
Well, you can also export them from the stream to a XML file.
Okay.
And then import them again.
Import them into, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, there are ways to do it. It takes a little work and it means using the computer, which of course, you know, I'd have to.
Yeah, right. I'm not big on that. Yeah. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many stations, Chris, how many stations do you have now in your.
Right this minute, I have 300 because I just put in.
Oh my God.
Well, I just had put in, what had happened was briefly, MSNBC went down, and I think they came back where they were, and I wasn't patient enough, like I just talked about. It ended up at 352, so it's at the top, which is fine. Numbers that I use a lot, I'm going to remember, even if they change. Like, I know that the ride, it used to be 310, but now I know it's 298 because I go there a lot. So it's not, and I also have neighborhoods. Like, I'll say, I know that's around the 130s. So I'll get in there, and that's kind of where the south is. Where's my, you know, southern stations? Okay, yeah, and then I'll find something. You know, that. So I have neighborhoods in my mind, so I don't remember all the numbers because it might have dropped, you know, a few numbers. But at least I can get close and find them within without typing in the thing, because I don't want to do that. I want to find the favorites so I can go back and forth. I don't want to.
You can punch in the channel number, right? If you think it's like 130 or whatever.
Yeah, I'll put in 130 and I'll go down and say, okay, it's not there. And I did it geographically. So, that's Texas. Okay, so I'm going to Louisiana. I got to go down. You know, I tried to do it a little bit in parts of the country together, but other things got mixed in with old time radio in Canada and this and that. But I kind of know regions, so I can go to a region and find stuff, you know.
Now, there's an old time.
This is Myra. I've been listening, I haven't participated. But I want to say this is amazing. I've had so much fun listening to you. Know more than any 25 people. that's pretty amazing.
I would have tried to use some of those extra voices I have too, but I didn't do it. But anyway,
I didn't know that you could get MSNBC on the stream, so I just got it on mine. I always listen on the podcast, but I didn't know you could do it in real time. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And where are you finding the Red Sox streaming? Because I can get them through, well, I have the MLB app, but I can get them through Sirius XM if I speak the right way to the A-Lady.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, doesn't work.
I think WEEI, if you typed in WEEI, where do you live?
Well, I live in Amherst, but WEEI only seems to stream the games that are home games.
There's blackout rules that make it so that the online stuff doesn't come where you think it's going to come.
Oh.
Because I have tried to get them through Odyssey Radio because I know they're on there. And sometimes you don't get the games at all. You just get CBS Sports.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, so I can get them through. I can get them through Sirius. And I can get them home games through the stream on EEI, but when they're away games, they don't come through there.
That's too bad.
Figure out another way to do that?
Well, SiriusXM will do
SiriusXM. But the problem is, unless you have what you need is because SiriusXM will also do the home. So let's say they're in not New York because they'll do both, but let's say they're in Detroit, you might have to listen to the Detroit announcers if you just have Sirius XM.
Not on Sirius,
you don't have to. And I have the MLB app, so I can listen to anybody I want. That's a really good deal.
But on the radio or on the stream, you're not going to be able to do it because of the blackout rules.
What I figured. Okay, so I did figure that out.
I thought she just had regular. I didn't know if she had the, she's got the app, but I also didn't know if she had the internet, because you can ask for a team if you have the internet thing from SiriusXM, the full package, and play the Boston Red Sox. And
but it's only through SiriusXM that you can do it. You can't. You don't have any other options there.
Right.
And, so and are you Bluetoothing this through speakers? Like, do you have speakers?
I don't know anything about Bluetooth. I also, for work, I use a Braille Edge, and it sometimes talks about Bluetooth, and I turn it off right away because I don't know anything about it. So I stay away from things. That's why I don't get into trouble. I stay away from things I don't know about.
So you with your speakers from the stream?
I do it with my
headphone.
Speakers on the stereo. Yeah,
or
my stream is hooked into the stereo.
He's got his stream plugged into his stereo, Myra.
Uh-huh, okay. Do you Bluetooth into anything? Into any?
He doesn't.
But
he doesn't
do you?
Use the Bluetooth part of it.
Do you still?
No, I'm not saying I never. I'm one
I
of these
Bluetooth
people.
Bluetooth all the time.
So yeah. What speakers are you Bluetoothing the stream into that works well?
I hardly even use my stream. I use my iPhone.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Depending on where I am in the house, I either Bluetooth into one of my set of Sonos speakers that are in my bedroom. I've got
a speaker
in the kitchen. I got a speaker in the kitchen that I Bluetooth into.
Okay.
Because the stream doesn't have this, Mara. The stream doesn't have Bluetooth unless you get a Bluetooth transmitter to hook up to it. The stream doesn't have Bluetooth.
Yeah,
unless
you get the Victor Trek.
I have a Trek.
Okay.
You have Bluetooth.
Yeah, I can Bluetooth.
Yeah, but the original stream that Chris has doesn't have Bluetooth at all.
Right. Okay.
So.
Yeah. No, I have that one too. I can't believe you're burning through streams, Chris. I can't.
Some of them last very well, and others just don't, and you don't. It's unpredictable.
Yeah, but see, Myra,
getting batteries, but the stream works when I change the battery.
Yeah, but Myra, he uses his stream 28 hours a day.
I probably use it 12.
What goes, Myra, isn't so much the battery. The battery's fine; you can get a new battery. But it's the charge. The weakest part of that stream is the charger port that you charge the battery with. And that'll go out. Those pins go, and that's.
Do you have the magnet thing?
No, I don't.
No, I don't either.
That's what you need.
I do
that's
have two need. Of them that don't have any pins. Like what I charge
what
it with
need,
all the time doesn't have any pins.
Okay,
it's
but
just
what you
one of those
to, Myra,
pinless.
What you need to do is you need to get the magnetic thing that plugs into that port.
Yep.
And then
you need to get it on every place you're going to plug it in.
You get one cable with the magnetic port that plugs into the stream.
Yeah.
That's, I'm not talking about a wireless charger now. I'm talking about.
I know. But once you've got that magnetic port in, you can't get it out, can you?
Why would you want to?
Well, because I sometimes plug in my stream into I have wires set up that are micros all over my house.
Oh, all right. So then you're going to have to get a magnetic thing for each of those micro USB things to do it if you want to use that system.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I see.
I just wondered if anybody had a better way of doing it. But this is amazing, Chris. I am totally blown away by what you know.
Well, it's been, I didn't learn it all in one day. And that's the thing. If you pay attention, and Steve is a lot that way with radio, too. You know, when we started out and we were just kids and we listened to this stuff and, you know.
Well, I was a kid in New York with radio. So I did that, too. And, you know, but
You'd particularly enjoy, if you like oldies, you'd particularly enjoy the Pop Gold thing that he does every Saturday afternoon. There's a lot of New York, air checks get mixed in, and there's a lot of New York stations that he talks about. So,
now, who is this?
Pop Gold, Don Tandler. It's Pop Gold.
Pop Gold. So it's
Pop
in
Gold
under,
Radio.
Under Pop.
US meeting standard window.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, you could
this
just type
really
in Pop
fun.
Gold and it'd come up. Yep. Okay.
All right. I got to go, but thank you. This has been fun. I'm really impressed.
Well, good.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Chris, I have a question.
Okay.
So I came in late to the party. Sorry, I couldn't find the Zoom link. That was on me. This is Nancy. I have an internet radio that is, I'd say maybe circa 2004.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't used it because I went down to Florida. When I came back here, I got the Google and I got the Echo.
Uh-huh.
So what is the difference between those two? What is the advantage of using the internet radio itself?
Actually, this is a question for Steve, probably.
Okay,
well,
Steve.
They both your Google system and the Echo use the internet. The internet radio also uses the internet, but the difference is that Amazon and Google have built their own platforms for doing all of this. And so you can use your voice to command them.
Yep.
The internet radio, I suspect you're going to have to either program it somehow, or I don't know, because again, I don't know which kind you have, but at this point, have you tried it to even find out if it works?
Oh, it's still in the box from my several moves. I didn't know whether it was actually
It may still work, but I don't know. Again, not knowing the specifics of what you have,
right.
I would say that in terms of getting the things that you want or getting the things that are around today, you're probably better off either using your Echo or your Google system. I don't know that the internet radio won't work, but remember that a lot of things, if they were programmed in, a lot of the things have changed because stations come and go.
Yeah.
And so I think you're better with the two things that you've talked about.
Yeah. So that was my question. What is the advantage of the internet radio?
At this point, there may not be any.
Okay.
Oops,
because
somebody.
Yeah.
Someone's snoozing.
I think so. Doing a fine job of it, too.
Yeah.
as Chuck Berry would have said, live like you want to live.
That's right. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome.
All right. Well,
this has been great, Chris. This is awesome, man.
Yeah, it was fun.
And I'm going to go look for some of these stations punch them into my stream.
And Chris is going to have to go look for them too, because now he's been making all this up for the last hour and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I've got the legend on right now, listening to a countdown they do on Thursday nights, 1958. It's about to play the top five. So I'm good to go here.
Hey, Chris, do you know, just before you go, do you know if The Ride and Top Shelf Oldies, I know they both broadcast the countdown, but are they very different when they're not broadcasting the countdown?
Yes, they are. Top Shelf is much more obscure than The Ride.
Oh, okay.
So that's like the more obscure, 50s, doo-wop, rockabilly, all that's 50s and early 60s. Oh, yeah. And they've got their own presenters, too. It's not just Rick. They've got a whole bunch of people that they have present. I don't know much about their schedule. It's always one of those things that I have said, I should check them out a little bit more, but I really haven't, because there's only so many hours in the day,
That's true.
You have, I've got 300 stations, but 352 stations, but how many can I actually listen to in a given day? I mean, I have my probably 15 or 20 favorites that I listen to the most, but they're there, and then all of a sudden you say, hey, the Saints are playing tonight. I'm going to listen to WWL. Maybe you hadn't listened to WWL in 6 months, but you can go do it, that kind of thing.
Right, right.
And when they have a hurricane coming.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, this has been fun.
This has been great, Chris. This has been great.
Good. Well, now, you guys who are podcast, because I'm not a podcast maven, that would be probably in the next thing to do another month, is to talk about podcasts, because that's certainly something that people like.